This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
What do you mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years if you're still living here. Coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right. Here's your afternoon delight. Right where you want it. PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here until 2 o'clock, taking your emails as we always do. In this time slot on Patriots.com radio, webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number, 508-543-7482. And Tom, I'm here with you. We just filmed our show last night.
Yep.
Which was on Neckin. Mm-hmm. So our second show under
What's
our belt.
What's wrong with that set, Freddie?
What?
I heard the set was bad. Looked good to me last night.
Oh, they redid it.
Oh,
yeah, it was
good.
Better last night.
The week before, it was just like a curtain with some stuff hanging on it.
I liked how Paul and Andy had the Garanimals on, the same outfit.
Oh, is that right? that's funny. I didn't notice that. But, Tom, we're back here, and this was the Patriots kind of last day of work until Monday.
Yeah.
The team's off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So as far as we know, I'm sure there'll be some guys here working out. But Belichick had his last press conference until Monday. Players will be available around 1:30. So, you know, I'm sure you guys will be in the locker room getting whatever you can so we can finish up this issue of PFW. And then next week we get ready for the Bills. So it's going to be a little quiet here other than, of course, they're filming – The Rock's movie here.
Which that Rock guy.
What's the name of it?
I forgot. It's a Disney
the
movie.
The Game Plan.
The Game Plan.
It's The Game Plan?
I'm going to put that underneath the Hochstein sign.
So The Game Plan is the name of the movie. And the I saw like 20 refs walking by today in full referee uniforms.
Yeah, we heard at the press conference like the fans applauding and stuff. So.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. In the seats, like 10% of the people there are real. The rest are just dummies.
Right, right.
It's you know, so I'm going to be, if I see the movie, I'll be, those guys are dummies. Yeah. No, it's interesting to see how they do that. It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Just
oh, yeah.
to do a couple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing what's going on here at Gillette Stadium on a mm-hmm. day-to-day basis. From the Rolling Stones to soccer, football, Hollywood. Reebok was here with a huge trade show. They had Allen Iverson here and Chad Johnson here yesterday. Wasn't open to the public, just you
right.
know, the people that wholesalers, I guess, or something like that. But that was held here yesterday at Gillette Stadium. So it's quite a place, this facility. Wouldn't you say so, Tom?
Not bad.
Now, Tom, do you have something that you need to get off
your
chest?
I'm pretty upset.
What are you upset?
Because we were attacked on one of those message patsychos.com or whatever one of those message boards is.
Look at that douchebag.
Patriots Football Weekly,
okay.
Specifically me, because I was the one who brought it up. John Tomasi wrote a story about Chad Jackson and mentioned the joke that he said at that gala, which was true. However, John Tomasi didn't see or hear anything.
What?
He asked me what happened at that gala, okay? I told him exactly what I saw. Much like myself, Tomasi decided not to put in some of the things that I told him because we see no need to slam Chad Jackson for no reason, okay? There was some things that he did when he walked in. John Tomasi was nowhere in sight. He was talking to Teddy Bruschi during this whole thing. He'd admitted it to me. He asked me for everything. So the moderator or someone at patpsychos.com or whatever it is where they post 5,000 messages and don't work or eat or have girlfriends or whatever it is they do, said that we should be embarrassed for trying to, first of all, bring up our ratings. We have no ratings.
Bring
so
up our
that
ratings.
Show you how idiotic that guy is. Second of all, he said, for starting rumors about Chad Jackson. Listen, I'm leaving out this stuff because I don't feel that it's appropriate to tell everyone the embarrassment that he caused there. Tomasi obviously decided to do the same thing. He mentioned the joke that didn't go over well. Yes, that was part of it. It wasn't the whole thing. So, listen, I understand you guys think you know the team, but you don't. You sit there, you write on your message boards, and you watch the games on TV. That's all you do. You're not close to the team. What I said happened, and I swear to God on my life that it happened. So that's the best I can do. If the person at that website would like to set up a lie detector test, I would be willing to take one at any time and tell you exactly what happened at that gala. So don't call us out for lying. And why would I want to make Chad Jackson look bad? Doesn't he play for the Patriots, Fred?
Absolutely.
Don't I work for the Patriots?
Absolutely.
Do I have a Super Bowl ring yet?
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I would like to go to Miami and get one. So I wouldn't make up things about Chad Jackson that aren't true for my own personal benefit because it doesn't benefit me. So that's all. I just thought that was Tomasi reported a small piece of what happened that night. He decided to keep the other stuff out. I think that was a good decision, and I'm not going to tell you what happened because it's over, it's done with, and it doesn't need to be said.
Right. It was kind of like a private affair.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly. What? I work for the team, but and I don't think that it's necessary for me to go into specifics
but, you know,
for what I saw.
These same websites will kill us, when I say us, PFW, if they think we're, you know, looking through rose-colored glasses,
right.
You know, you can't please these people.
All I said, there was some things there that he did that were not appropriate, and they were addressed by the veterans on this team. Now, I will say the same thing on a lie detector, and we'll see if the needle moves. I guarantee it won't.
Right. So what exactly did they say? They just said we're trying to raise our ratings?
They said we're trying to raise our ratings by getting all over a 21-year-old kid. Like, we get our kicks off of doing that. I simply mentioned that there was some issues.
How many emails do we get on a weekly basis? What's going on with Chad Jackson?
Right.
Why isn't he out there?
69.
I mean, it's not like we're just, you know, looking for stuff.
Well, yeah, instead of saying, well, you know, maybe we don't want to say what happened because we're trying to protect the kid. They're criticizing us because they said, we're not saying what happened. We're just making up rumors. It's not a rumor. Call the cops. I'll go down anytime you want. I'll put my whatever that thing is on my finger, and I'll sit there in front of everybody and tell you exactly what happened, and we'll see if the needle moves.
And remember what George Costanza said. It's not a lie
if you believe it.
I
just thought that was uncalled for, saying that we would try to pick on a member of our own organization just to drive up ratings on an internet radio show. What kind of sense does that make?
That's nuts. Was there any responses to it? Any other people responding to the post?
Everyone thinks everyone's against Chad Jackson. Because I guess if Borges says something, if Borges and Felger say something bad about everybody, I guess that means the entire media other than Mike Reese.
Well, you know, it's amazing, though. And these players really, it's amazing to me how the players don't realize this sometimes. But Chad Jackson holds one interview yesterday where he gets to say kind of what's going on with him and that it's simply the injury that's holding him back, and he wish he was out there, and says all the right things, and he turns all public opinion.
Right.
You know, if the players just understood how they have the ability to really manipulate the media.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do themselves a big favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can use the media if they want to.
Oh, right. You know, Corey Dillon, if he felt like it, could own the media.
Right. They just have to understand how to do that. But, you know, up to yesterday, everybody was like, you know, Chad Jackson this, Chad Jackson that. Once you hear him in his own words, the fans are ready to flock to him, which is fine. I'm happy about that. You know, I want the kid to succeed.
Yeah, and even last night on our TV show, I was the one that said, we need Chad Jackson.
Yes.
We need him. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said that. I don't know why people think I have a personal vendetta against Chad Jackson. Yeah, I made a couple of jokes calling him Miss Jackson and stuff. That's just all in fun. We're just having fun.
Right.
I don't dislike him. I think he looks like a machine. If you saw him in the locker room, the guy is a wrecking crew. He's got unbelievable speed. As soon as he gets on the field and can contribute, we all think he could be the number one receiver for the Patriots.
Right.
So I don't know how that's being negative.
Well, okay, so you know,
I had to set the record straight. And you're also feel free to email John Tomasi and ask him if what I just said was the exact way that it happened, because I told him everything that happened.
And
he did not see
what's
it.
The screen, was, what's the screen name of this person who?
It's a moderator there.
It's a moderator.
It's a moderator. Yeah, I don't know how you get that job, but he's a moderator. And you can email John Tomasi, and I like I said, I'm giving you specifics. He did not see what was going on because he was talking to Teddy Bruschi, waiting to talk to Teddy Bruschi. Email him, ask him if that's true.
You know, so whoever this moderator is, if he's a real fan, he's listening to this show, or, you know, whether it's live or on the podcast, and he, you know, he can, let's see what he has to say for himself.
Yeah, I mean, that was it's a personal attack that I thought was uncalled for. I read those things because I think they're comical. You know me, I get a kick out of them. And, I've been slammed plenty of times on those boards. That's fine, but to say that we're picking on Chad Jackson and starting rumors, that is totally unfounded. It's totally untrue. And at no point, if I went to that gala and made up stories, how happy would you be, Fred? You wouldn't
not,
be very
not
happy.
Not very happy.
Me, would
that's
you?
Not
okay.
What we're looking for.
Right, exactly.
That's not what we're looking for.
And that's
for.
The reason why I'm not mentioning all the things that I saw, because I don't think it's relevant and it's over. So that's my rebuttal to what happened.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
You thought this show was going to be boring, huh?
We got a little, so that's, you know, we'll see what people have to say. Now, do a lot of, I don't know what particular boards these are. There's a few that there's PatsFans.com. And
that's
then
the one.
That's the one. And then there's another one, Patriots Nation or something like that. Pats Nation.
Planet or something. I think it is.
And then, of course, there's the one on KFFL.
Yeah.
That's a big one. You know, but I'm sure a lot of these people are the same people that go to all the boards.
Yeah.
You know, and they're hardcore fans. They are.
They are hardcore fans. And, but you don't always know. Just because, you know, you watch the game, you don't always know what's going on with the team. We don't make everything up. We don't sit here and say, hey, you know what? We're not up in the office going, hey, let's start making up rumors about Chad Jackson because we don't like him. Why would we not like him? We've only talked to him once or twice in our lives. He's never done anything to me to make me dislike him.
We have a vested interest in this team succeeding.
Yeah.
You know, now some people think that we're too biased toward the team. Some people think that we're too negative. So I guess we're probably just right.
I would say so.
You know?
I only say, if I say something like that, it's only because it's what I saw. I would never make anything like that up, because if you do that, I think that's a fireable offense. Making up stuff and then
absolutely
reporting it
absolutely
is a fireable offense. So I would never do that.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Anything else, Tom?
Nah, I'm good now.
That's good.
The sheriff has spoken.
You got that off your chest?
Well, I just felt that needed a rebuttal, saying that they said Patriots Football Weekly in specifics was, you know, should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed of ourselves for dragging that kid under the, you know,
go
all that
yourself
kind of stuff.
Oh, brother. That's unbelievable. All right. Well, Paul is on his way to do the big show.
Right.
He's too big for us now.
Now, he's worried about ratings.
Yeah. He's on EEI. He's going to be on EEI 2 o'clock.
Call comes to
show
us direct from the Worcester Telegram
in
and
fact,
Gazette.
He was doing Tuesdays. This is how much power he had.
Yeah.
He was doing Tuesdays, and because we started filming our show on Tuesdays, he had them switch him to Wednesdays on the big. So that's he wields a lot of power now.
Yeah, he's like
more
the
pizza
Oz
for us on Wednesdays,
he's
I
like,
guess.
Man, he's like the wizard.
Yeah.
Like in the Wizard of Oz.
Although Chris Collins on Neckin still got his name wrong. Called
right.
Called him Tom Perillo. So,
but we reshot.
They edited it out. It was funny. We all just looked at each other and started laughing. All right.
So what do you make of the Raiders possibly trading receivers? You think?
Well, that's been rumored. Is that heating up?
Well, the trade deadline's coming up.
Oh, October 17th.
So it's yeah. Now it's, you know, it's kicking in a full gear.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, either Porter or Moss.
Well, you've been here longer than I have. Do you think that they would make a deal for Randy Moss?
I mean, if the contract includes more guarantees than this 1 year, no. If they can get away with basically a one-year deal with an option after the year, that a team's option at the end of the year, I think they might. I really do. Because think about it. You know, I don't know. I think before they made the deal, maybe I'm being naive, but they would sit down with him and say, look, we've got a good thing going here. You know, we've won 3 Super Bowls. We're 4-1 right now. We've got a locker room. I mean, we don't need somebody coming in here and causing problems. But if you're willing to come in here, play your role, you're going to get your opportunities, and there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have a chance to play, you know, play for Super Bowl this year, something he hasn't come close to in his career yet. I think that they would do it. I really do. And, you know, you talked about it on the TV show yesterday, the need for that guy with speed to just go down there and open things up,
right,
and get downfield. I mean, Moss is the best in the game when it comes to that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know, like, his mental state. I mean, I'm sure the Patriots look into that kind of thing a lot more than I have access to. I don't know, is he one of these guys you can control? You know, like, if you tell him not to talk.
Are you mental?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's can he fit in here that way?
Well, again, I don't know. I like to think he could.
You know, I've been hearing this word the last couple of days, disruption. I've heard it with T.O., and I've heard it with Alex Rodriguez. They're a constant disruption. And then I thought about the Patriots, and I said, you know what? Now, Deion Branch obviously isn't as bad as T.O., but that was going to be a constant disruption to the team. So what they did was they just eliminated it. You know, we don't want questions for 10 weeks about
right.
Deion Branch, so they just got rid of their problem. They're 4-1, and I think now that I've seen what T.O. did to the Eagles, a team that runs its organization similar to the Patriots, that disruptive thing kind of really sticks with me. You know, do you want this disruption where it's, oh, every week it's going to be something about this guy that's going to be bigger than the team? Because if Randy Moss comes here, he'll be bigger than the team.
You think so?
Yes.
Bigger than Tom Brady?
When
he first comes, he's going to be the show.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to want to talk to Randy Moss, and all the cameras are going to be on him during the game to see what he does.
See, the thing about Brady is he's kind of conformed to the system. He doesn't talk, you know, he doesn't speak out of turn,
right.
Really.
Well, he was part of the system being put in place.
Right. But
he's one of the system's founders.
My point is that Moss is not part of the system.
No, he's not.
You never know what he's going to do. He's that wild card. It's a tough one.
Well, it is a tough one, and, you know, I'm sure it would have to come down to a face-to-face prior to signing him with Pioli and Belichick,
mm-hmm.
maybe even Robert Kraft, I don't know, that they sit down with this kid and talk with him. You know,
he
but
must be in another galaxy somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
I guess, you know, let's look at Randy Moss since he's come in the league, okay? Obviously, he had some problems in high school
mm-hmm.
where, you know, supposedly somebody used a racial epithet directed toward him. He got it in a pummeled the kid.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that,
right.
Actually.
I don't either.
You know, that was the big thing coming out of high school. Now, there might have been some stuff in college. I can't remember that.
He started at Florida State,
yeah,
and then he went to Marshall.
Right. So I don't know why or what the reasoning was behind that, but then he gets to the pros. He had the water bottle squirting incident.
Mm-hmm.
I got no problem with that either.
They stole my
pot. Fooling around, okay? Maybe he's a little immature. He had the one problem in the car where he almost hit somebody.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what happened there? You know, there is a thing about, you know, DWIB or driving while black. You know, there are certain cops that I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I do know that the next day or even that day, he was on the TV apologizing, you know, doing the right thing. Didn't make excuses for it. He had the situation where he walked off the field. Paul says that the game was over. I kind of remember that there was a chance that if they had done something,
they could have gotten the onside
kick,
but there was only
come
a couple
back
of
on
seconds.
The field, right.
It was kind of like Cleveland screwing me this week where they kicked the field goal
right.
with 5 seconds left. It
right.
would be a miracle, but he did walk off the field.
But you still don't do that. You don't
so
walk
Romeo
off the
owed
field.
You the iPod?
Romeo owes me a lot more than iPods.
Okay, so, but up until this point, with where he's come out and said, if that's the way it's going to be, they don't care, then I'm not going to care. You know, you haven't really seen him or heard him say much that really would hurt his teammates. You know, so I think in his case, he's just a little immature. I think T.O.'s insane.
No, T.O.'s insane.
Yeah.
Mentally, they're different because T.O. is mentally crazy. He's crazy.
Yeah. So
are you mental?
I don't know. So I think the bottom line, I guess what I'm getting to with Moss is I think his situation is manageable. I think. You know,
the team would be unstoppable if they had him.
You know,
I mean, unstoppable.
As far as the players, you know, are told, hey, this guy's coming in here to help us win games. And that's what you tell T.O., look, you're part of this team to help us win, but you're not going to help us win unless you do what we tell you to do. And again, if there's no long-term financial ramifications, I say take a flyer on the guy, you know?
I mean, if they got him, they would be the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
You think it's that easy? I don't know.
Randy Moss?
I think he's great,
Randy Moss, I mean, you can argue, is the most physically gifted wide receiver to ever play football. I mean, we're not seeing all that right now because he doesn't have anyone throw him the football. But when he has a quarterback, and let's be honest, as we're seeing, Dante Culpepper might not have been the best of quarterbacks. Can you imagine Tom Brady delivering him the ball as accurate as he does on the run? Because once Moss is in the open field, you can forget about it. No one's going to catch him.
No, he's a gazelle out there.
So, yeah, so...
And it doesn't even look like he's running
no,
fast.
No, it doesn't.
But he is just fast.
Right. So I just...
He makes up so much ground with each stride.
What he would do for Ben Watson and Chad Jackson and Gabriel and the other guys, just being on the field at the running game with Maroney and Dillon, if the defense keeps playing the way they are, barring any major injuries, I don't see how you'd stop the team.
You think about it, okay? That one guy, now I'm getting all excited. you add Randy Moss to this team. We're talking about perhaps one of the greatest collections of offensive weapons you've ever had. I mean, you look back at Aikman and Irvin and Emmett Smith, and there's probably a few others back, you know, with the Steelers,
yeah.
with Bradshaw and Franco Harris and Lynn Swan and Stallworth. But you look at this. You got Brady, who's, you know, top three quarterback, yep. if not the best quarterback in the league. You got the tight ends, Watson and Graham. Throw in Dave Thomas because he's got great hands.
Yeah.
Okay, things are going to open up for those tight ends once you add a Randy Moss. You got Dillon and Maroney in the backfield, and you got an offensive line that's really starting to gel. You know, the first time for a while they've had a couple years when they've been able to play together.
The key is that if you had Moss and you played Denver. Their linebackers couldn't be snooping around that line of scrimmage they were all game
That's
long.
Right.
So you have to pick your poison. You'd either have to drop back and cover in coverage, or you'd have to try to take away the run. Either way, the Patriots are going to have something that they can do now on offense.
Right, because the one thing the Patriots are having trouble with on offense now is when you come up with a good, fast defense that can stop the run and commit to that, Brady hasn't been able to take advantage of those guys sneaking up to the line yet with his wide receivers. You add Moss to the mix, all of a sudden, at least one or two guys have to pay attention to him every time he's on the field. So, and if they're going to do that, and the linebackers are still going to sneak up, that opens up the middle for Watson. You know, so, you know, I'm excited.
I just don't
know. It's not going to happen.
I just don't know what the Raiders are doing. As far as a whole organization, like what direction are they going?
I think the direction they're going is number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, but so what?
I know.
You know?
But I think they're tanking the season.
You know, they don't draft Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so what? So Andrew Walter can play? Is that what I'm supposed to believe?
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Well, he's not playing now. They got Tiasa.
Well, Walter's starting.
I thought he was taking him out.
Now, we heard yesterday, remember on the radio coming back, that Tuiasa Sopo came in to give him a break, but he said Andrew Walter would start this week.
Oh, did he? I thought he said he wasn't going to start again, and he was going to keep Tuiasa Post, or whatever his name is, in there. Maybe I didn't hear that part.
I think they said Walter will start this week. Aaron Brooks still isn't ready.
Okay.
They wanted to bring Tuiasa Sopo in just to give the kid a rest and... Well, this is a play in Denver, so who cares,
right. Really? Right,
they're
not going to
score. They're not going to get a yard.
You know, so, yeah, that Oakland is just going off the deep
end. What are they going to do? They traded Gabriel. They want to trade Porter and Maul. I mean, what are they going to put out there?
I know. You know.
What, are they going to run the wing T?
I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they just figure, look, we don't have a quarterback to throw to them. So what's the sense of having wide receivers? Let's just stock up on draft picks and really rebuild next year.
I'm sure those will turn out well with Al Davis running the show.
No, it's a mess, but there's no better fan base to have this happen to than Raider Nation. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We got a lot of emails we need to get to. Yesterday, I guess we were talking, comparing The Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
One of our first emailers comes from Todd. He says, this is to the jackass that said The Rock has it over Hogan. I believe that was Andy.
That would be Andy.
Come on, man. Are you for real? Hogan was better than The Rock in every way. Better entertainer by far. I guess it would come down to what your definition of the best entertainer is. If it's money, highlights, character, you know Hogan's got him, damn it. Just started listening a couple months back. Co-workers listen all the time. Funny show. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Andy's, I mean, The Rock's had some good moments, but you can't. I mean, The Hulk's the best. You can't. Andy's nuts.
Andy's got some man love for The Rock.
Yeah.
You know.
He's been around here. He's out snooping around trying to get a glimpse of him.
No, I was in the men's room the other day, and I caught him in the mirror doing that eyebrow thing to himself. Yeah. So, you know that he likes The Rock. What's his real name, Darren?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson. Actually played for the Hurricanes. Right?
Yeah, Miami.
Is he a linebacker?
He's a lineman. He was huge.
Really?
I got Ray Lewis's second ever game on tape against Colorado. And The Rock is one of the linemen there. And at right before the half, there's this huge brawl. And The Rock's in the middle of it with his helmet off. He's got this huge Samoan afro.
Really?
He's enormous. Not like cut like he is now. I'm talking about big, bulky lineman. Enormous.
Wow. Now,
he looks a lot different.
Was he drafted or eligible for the draft?
Yeah, happened? He was a backup at Miami. He was kind of, you know how they always used to have that rotation,
yeah.
The defensive line? He was part of that rotation. He actually had a big day that day against Colorado. He made a lot of big tackles, but he was kind of a second teamer, and I believe he got injured at some point, and then he started off.
Yeah.
He went into wrestling.
Yeah, well, good move for him.
Yeah,
he's probably making more money than he could have ever made in football. Let's see. Matt writes in. He's from Fort Worth, Texas. First of all, what a great show! I just started listening this year during training camp, and it has become a great habit. For being stuck in Dallas Cowboys country, your show is a great release from having to listen to all the hoopla about El Dorado Owens. El Dorado was his middle name. I did not know that. T.O.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know. Terrell Owens.
No, Terrell. T.O. is Terrell.
T.O., but I didn't know that his middle name was El Dorado.
I think that's a joke.
He doesn't deserve to be called T.O. Just as a side note, Roy Williams sucks. He's a linebacker that can't cover anyone.
Well, you know what I think of Roy Williams.
Right, I think you agree. On the game against the Dolphins, it was very nice to see the three turnovers, especially after forcing the two key ones against Miami. The offense is obviously struggling, but when the defense gives Brady and the offense a short field, he knows what to do with it. It really frustrated me that they didn't run Dillon more. It seems like he was getting much more yardage than Maroney. I think Maroney's problem was the fact that he was trying to do a couple of juke steps before hitting the hole, whereas Dillon decided on a hole quick and hit it. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think Maroney jukes at all. I think that's overrated.
Gary is handing me the Terrell Owens fact sheet. Yes, Terrell El Dorado Owens. Born in Alexander City, Alabama.
To get back to the running game thing,
though. I didn't finish his email, but that's okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As for the debate between Tom and Andy on Maroney being a superstar, it all depends on what the definition of superstar is. My opinion, you can't be a superstar unless you have a consistent body of work to look back on. Maroney has two great runs against Buffalo in a 125-yard game against the Bengals. Both teams' run defenses are average at best. I think he will be one of the top five running backs in the league in a couple of years, but he is not a superstar yet.
Well, he'll be the Patriots' starting running back from week one next year through the entire season because Corey Dillon will not be back. So next year you can email me and let me know if he's a superstar. Yeah, how about that?
Okay. Now, what does he want to say about the running game?
He doesn't dance in the hole. When I was in the Denver locker room, I was talking to DJ Williams, and I heard someone from behind, I think it might have been Al Wilson, and they asked about the injury to Dillon in that game, and he said it really didn't matter because they had prepared for Maroney anyway because he cuts back. He said Dillon's just a straight-ahead runner. We don't have to prepare for him. So what I'm telling you is teams are specifically preparing to stop Lawrence Maroney. I've talked to Denver guys a couple of times. They don't even fear Corey Dillon. I mean, they've all but said that to me. personally. So they came in saying, we're going to stop Lawrence Maroney, not Corey Dillon, because I think all those teams know that Dillon's only going to get 10 to 12 carries. He's going to get about 40 yards every time he gets the ball. They're worried about Maroney. They've seen what he can do on tape, and he can change a game.
Yeah, I mean, I like Corey Dillon. I think he's still a great back, you know, definitely a pounder. I don't think, though, as a defense, you have to worry about Dillon ever breaking one.
Right.
He's just not going to outrun anyone. You know, he just doesn't have, you know, maybe at one team, one time, he had some speed to break out. Like, and he just doesn't
I
have
I think
it.
Defenses are playing differently when Dillon's in there than when Maroney's
yeah.
in there.
I mean, Maroney, you have to worry about that, you know.
He's the game breaker on offense. When Maroney's on the field, when you look at the receivers that are out there, he's the guy that offenses are saying we need to stop him, number 39. With Dillon's out there, I don't think they feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they still feel like they have to, you know, fill their holes and play tough against the run. Don't get me wrong. Otherwise, he's going to get 10, 12 yards at a crack. But he doesn't cut back. Where he goes is where he's going. And he's not going to outrun anyone.
No.
He's still a great back, and I still think he's going to help the Patriots this year and makes that offense that much better. But that's the fact. You know, you don't have to worry about him outrunning anyone.
No.
Let's see. James writes in with a fact or fiction. With the trade deadline approaching, will the Patriots make any more moves? We just talked about that. He says Porter and Moss, will they both be on the Raiders after next week? Fact or fiction?
No, they won't. One of them will be gone.
Will the Patriots make any moves? Fact or fiction? The Patriots will make. James. It's not a fact or fiction if it's a question. Anyway, do you think they'll make any moves with the trade?
I'll say fact.
Okay. If the Bears and Patriots played this weekend, who would win and why?
The Bears. They're just playing better right now. Their defense is playing too dominant for the Patriots to get anything going. They would stuff the running game, and the passing game isn't clicking enough for it'd be one of those lower scoring games. But I think the Bears defense right now is playing too well for the Patriots to move the ball. But now when they actually play in November, then it could be different, because by then I think the Patriots will be right around the time where they're, you know, I'm not saying, but
right.
I think right around then is where they're going to start hitting on all cylinders.
Now, James is the iPod guy. He says, hey, Tom, do you want a black or white video iPod? What address do I send it to, or the football?
You can send it here. We'll worry about that after I give you a winner.
And then he says, if Paul, Andy, or Fred want in on this deal, I will make the same deal. iPod video if you're right. If you're wrong with your pick, I'd be willing to make the deal for the following. A Bill Belichick-signed helmet, a Tom Brady-signed helmet, or a Troy Brown-signed jersey. Of course, I will send you the helmet and the jersey. It's a win-win situation for me. Either I win money or I pay for autographs that are impossible to get.
Get the feeling his iPods fell off a truck.
Yeah. I know, those guys giving out iPods like they're candy.
I think we'll leave that between you and Tom. I don't want to complicate this situation. But we have tomorrow. That's our pick show.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
I'm working. I'm working on some things.
Are you?
Yeah.
You got some locks going.
It's a tough week. I'm sifting through some information right now.
In hindsight, you know, the Bears probably would have been a good lock, huh?
Yeah. they probably would have. I felt Carolina. They're such a frustrating team, you know, because I felt like they're ready to get going. Yeah. They're playing the Browns. Both corners are hurt, and you know, I also heard Steve Smith drop four passes in that game. It's just one of those things where it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. And then Crennel kicks that field goal.
Oh, man.
That was the most useless field goal
ever. We got to tell James, you don't know how nervous I was. We're waiting. We're supposed to be going down to do our job, and instead me and Paul are standing next to the computer, and we're following it, you know, on Yahoo, on my fantasy thing, and we see it's fourth down, and I'm like, all right, one more play. It's all we need. And then I see the 12 pop up, and my heart just sank. And I was swearing and yelling. I was going nuts.
It was just a needless field goal. It was almost like Crennel knew the line and said, I'll make it a push.
Well, Vegas watches for things like that. They have something called a red flag. So if they think something was up, they'll red flag them and they'll start watching their line moves. And if they move a certain way to, that's how they caught the guy for Arizona State, the point guard who shaved points.
Oh, really?
They got red flagged a month earlier and they caught the line move and then they nailed him.
Huh. Interesting. That's wild.
That happens a lot more in college than pros.
Yeah. Not that I'm not saying that Romeo would ever do that, but it was just, it was kind of a weird field goal. I mean,
then they kicked deep. That's the whole thing that made me lose my mind where I started swearing. They didn't even try an onside kick. They kicked deep. He kicked the field goal. You got to get the onside kick like the Bears did a couple years ago to Cleveland, where they kicked the field goal. They got the onside kick, threw a Hail Mary, tied the game, went into overtime and won. That was your only chance. So you have to try the onside kick, get it, throw a Hail Mary pass into the end zone. He kicked it deep. I just don't understand that.
Let's see. Nick writes in from San Diego. I was listening to yesterday's show on the way to work today and heard you talking about a couple of things I thought were interesting. First, with the play calling. I thought we were a stagnant last year in the same way. I know Tom threw for a ton of yards last year, and I wouldn't call the offense predictable. But especially last year, we would throw deep for incomplete, run for no yards, and then force Tom to complete third and long, which he did more often than not. What I think is missing in the offense is Josh McDaniels' experience. I think he will get there. Willie Mays used to let a pitch go by just so he'd see it again later in the game. Jim Brown used to limp back to the huddle to make the D think he was hurt. Charlie used to run a couple of plays early without success just so that he could use it as a decoy for a big play later. Josh is learning. Give him time, although I agree I don't see Matt Light ever getting out there to make that block for Gabriel. I went to my first Chargers game on Sunday, and I have a couple of reactions for you. Jamal Williams is as good as everyone says. Did you see that game?
Yeah, he's a dominator.
He's a man.
Yeah.
Did you see that one play where he just pushed the center?
Yeah.
He is huge and stops the run cold and makes plays all over the place. Will Fork reminds me of him, except more consistent. The stadium was loud. I was expecting bad fans because Padres fans stink. But here's the catch. The place was at least half full with Steelers fans. They were yelling the whole game until Ben's second pick. Speaking of Ben, he sucks. He might just be having the same problem as Culpepper. But what I think it is Ben can't throw more than 20 times and win a game. Chargers look good. They'll win the division. Love the show.
I still think it's these guys trying to prove a point by coming back too quick. I mean, this guy almost dies, okay? Then he has another surgery. And instead of just doing the right thing and taking a couple weeks, it's mental, too, just to get back mentally sharp. These guys want to get back on the field all of a sudden and prove how tough they are or whatever. I just don't get it. Now, see, I don't think Harrison was quite ready to play. I thought he played his best game by far against Miami.
And he
but
says
the
so
difference
too.
Is that you can get Harrison out there to work that knee out, and you can hide him a little bit because he's a safety. And I think that's what they were doing. They were getting him out there, getting him used to playing again, getting him a couple of hits. But he is a safety, so you can move him around and try to hide him. When you're a quarterback, you handle the ball on every play. So you have to be 100% healthy. And I just don't think these guys are. I've got to be honest with you. I don't think Palmer is either. Not from what I saw against the Patriots.
Yeah.
A lot of he wasn't stepping into his throws. A lot of his balls were off. And I don't think any of those guys are really healthy.
Yeah, could be. You know, but I agree with his opinion of San Diego. They really look good. And they look, to me, like the clear, well, not the clear favorite, but the favorite in the AFC West.
But we talked about on the way home yesterday the one problem, Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that saw, and I'm sure you all did, the touchdown that the Ravens scored against the Chargers, you saw who Todd Heap bounced off of. It was Sean Merriman. My question is, what in the hell is Sean Merriman doing that far back in coverage on an important play in the game? Why isn't he rushing Steve McNair? That's his strength. You got him 30 yards downfield covering? That's conservative defensive play calling by Marty Schottenheimer. And as we said, if it came down to the Chargers and the Patriots, I believe that Belichick would totally outcoach Schottenheimer and they would win.
Yep.
Yeah. But they are. I mean, their team is – it's.
That defense is fast
defense,
and active.
You got Tomlinson and Gates. Yeah. It's
yep. Let's see. Russell writes in from the mighty OC. He says, fun show yesterday. You guys have a great synergy together. and the honesty to tell it like it is and who you think sucks.
Look at that douchebag.
And not sugarcoat everything is refreshing. The field issue can be solved by putting in field turf. We talked a lot about that yesterday, about what's going on between the hash marks here at the Gillette Stadium. Dallas did it a couple years ago between the Cowboys bye week and away games. Do you feel it might have been semi-beneficial? Okay, so that's the end of that. They're not going to put in field turf this year. My guess is that, you know, I was thinking about it, they probably just held off on replacing that strip until the Revolution games are over. And this, you know, this is done, this movie that they're shooting, because they couldn't be doing field work while they're doing the move. So, and the Revs have one game on Saturday, and then I think they probably will have at least one playoff game, and then that's it. They're done, I think, by early November, maybe even sooner. And I think at that point, the Patriots will probably replace that strip down the middle. And, you know, it's not going to be seed, it's going to be sod, so it probably won't last. But it'll be dead grass, and it's better than just sand, which is what they have now. Let's see. He goes on to say, do you feel it might have been semi-beneficial to pick up Bethel Johnson? His hands are at least as bad as Caldwell. With more speed, he knows the playbook and Brady. Well, we know Johnson got signed with the Vikings today.
And I was thinking about that a couple of days ago. Like, why wouldn't they just go out and maybe sign him? But apparently, they've just had it. You know what I mean? Like, they think that they've given him every chance they possibly could, and he just didn't get it, and there's no reason to bring him back in.
Right. Let's see. And he didn't make it at the Saints either, which kind of tells you, you know, if this is a guy that just needed a change of scenery.
Because Sean Payton is, you know, he's willing to give you a fresh, so apparently he didn't work it out there either, because he was going to give him a fresh chance, a fresh start, another chance to prove himself.
Yeah, you have a veteran like Joe Horn that could have, you know, probably was willing to help him out, and it didn't work out there either, so I don't know what he's going to do up with the Vikings. I guess that coach is a pretty kind of a hard ass.
I'm a little. Oh yeah, he is a hard ass. That's not gonna end well for Bethel. I'm a little worried about Jabbar Gaffney though, because we all know that I love Hank Baskett. He was one of my sleeper guys in the draft. But I mean, if you're Jabbar Gaffney and you can't beat out Hank Baskett for a roster spot on a team that doesn't have a lot of receivers, I don't know.
Okay. We'll see what happens with Gaffney. His favorite quarterback's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Or his wife's favorite quarterback is Tom
Wife
Brady.
Wife is, yeah.
So, well, maybe that'll help.
Never been impressed with Gaffney. I had higher hopes for Rashay Caldwell than I did Gaffney.
Let's see. Who's got better speed, Gaffney or Caldwell?
Gaffney.
Well, last two questions from Russell. One, do you think one day the Patriots retire Troy Brown's number? And the $64,000 question, who was it and why did someone feel Shannon Sharpe would be a good choice to articulate football on national TV? Was Mumbles and the guy from Fat Albert unavailable? If you run the closed caption option on your TV, when Shannon Sharpe speaks, it just shows question marks. So, yeah, Shannon Sharpe is terrible.
No, he's on the NBC thing.
Yeah.
Right? See, I never get to
and
see
that. And you know who's just as bad? Sterling Sharpe. They're both bad.
You know what the Shannon Sharpe thing is? He was such a great quote when he played. Like, he has the greatest quote of all time.
Right.
And they talked about Takeo Spikes and Ray Lewis, and he said, that's like comparing the movie to Titanic to Dude, Where's My Car? I mean, that's one of the greatest quotes of all time. And I think they thought because he was such a great quote in the locker room, that would transfer over to the studio. But in the locker room, you're just given a quote. You know what I mean? Like, you're just saying a quote, and people are recording it and writing it down. Here you actually have to talk and, like he said, articulate the game, and he cannot do that. He is bad.
And Sterling Sharpe, he just starts out yelling, and that's all he does, you know?
I've never liked either one of them, to be honest with you, as far as a studio goes. It's just not. I like Jerome Bettis. It's from the little
so
that
far,
I've seen of
him. So far, he's been all right. Yeah.
I have, like I said, I don't see that show a lot because we're usually writing. I'll get to see it this week.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the first thing that he could have, you know, felt a little uncomfortable with, he was talking about, I forget who, and he didn't back down.
Cower.
About his contract situation.
Cower addressed him personally, publicly about it, and he didn't back down. He said, you know, I love Coach. I understand that he needs to say what he has to say, but I still feel in my heart that he'll step down at the end of the year. So I respect him for that.
Yeah. So, you
plus
know.
Plus, he actually, like, he kind of, He doesn't, like you just said, he doesn't really yell. You know, he talks.
Right, right.
He talks about the game. He's not screaming and yelling. He's not Michael Irvin going,
right,
you know,
right,
how can you say T.O.
Right.
is not the best receiver in the NFL?
I thought the funniest thing was Ditka saying that Irvin should go to some anger management classes. You know, there's a pair right there. That's like Vanderjack talking to Terrell Owens.
I know, trying to calm him down on the sideline. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was the funniest thing.
That was a good one.
Two peas in a pod, yeah, right there. Vanderjack and Terrell Owens. Can you imagine that conversation? Holy mackerel.
I think they're ripe for the picking.
Oh. Yeah, Vanderjack was probably saying, you know, we should just go get a drink after the game.
Oh, my God. What about Russell's other question about retiring Troy Brown's number?
Now, I still, this is a, we always get in a discussion about this. I don't know, what do they do here?
Well, they have retired numbers. The last number they retired was Tippett's. But I think that they're going to stop doing that because in football you just run out of numbers.
I think he's just going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Whatever it is, you know, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it, Troy Brown goes in. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Troy Brown is a guy that we all love, and he's done a lot for this team. But
and you know, like 20 more catches, he's going to have the most receptions in Patriots history.
Right. It's but you know, it's tough. I mean, I don't think he's in the caliber of an Andre Tippett. Do you? Like as far as player goes, even though he's going to be the all-time receptions leader, I think Andre Tippett. I think one of the best of all time.
Well, I'll give our listeners a little tip. Next issue of PFW on the cover, we're going to be start making a push for Tippett into the Hall of Fame. You know, that's something that when you really look at it, he grew up in the NFL during the Lawrence Taylor, and he was like a mini Lawrence Taylor. Had he been on the Giants or the Steelers or a better team, I think it'd have been a lock for the Hall of Fame. He happened to be on the Patriots, which was never really known for its defense, even back then. You know, it was always known for the running game, even, you know, back then, and Grogan's passing or, you know, Easton's passing. But he was, you know, 100 sacks in his career, just a dominant player. And so Patriots are going to make a little push to try to get him into the Hall of Fame.
I think he should be.
Yeah. Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Got a lot of emails coming in. Well, right now we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be sacked, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Let's go!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi. It's the cola.
Okay, back there, PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale until 2 o'clock. And then it's John Rook with Patriots Playbook. I didn't know John was a teacher at Emerson College.
No, I didn't know that either.
Alma mater. So that's interesting. He's teaching a sports writing class.
I'm interested in teaching. I should talk to him about it.
Are you?
Yeah.
You'd like to be a teacher?
Someday.
Before you do that, you should talk to Andy Hart about his experience.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dayton Rehoboth.
I'm not talking about that kind of teaching. I'm talking about at the college level.
Oh, so you're just going to go right to the pros.
Yeah. Well, if you get your master's and, you know.
Is that right? Is that how it works?
You have to have your master's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm close with the people at my college.
Okay.
You never know, something down the line, you know, 10, 15 years from now.
I could see you, you know. Laying down the law for your...
I'm good interacting with people. You might not know that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I thought you just like to sit home.
I do.
You'd actually have to go to the class, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't do it over the phone from your living room.
Oh, but I got to tell you, Fred, this weekend, this is my weekend.
Big weekend. What do we have on the docket?
It's going to rain and be 50 all weekend. Right. So I found my gray sweatpants. I washed them last night.
you're giving up life outfit?
Friday after work, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a shower, put on my sweatpants and my sweatshirt, and I'm not moving until Monday.
what are the games?
Well, Florida and Auburn is Saturday. Ohio State.
Did Auburn lose last week?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's at Auburn, though, so that'll be good. There's a couple of good games. And Sunday, you know, we never get to sit around and just watch football, so that's our one time.
All the pregame shows.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, everything. Vince from Pennsylvania says, am I the only one surprised we only got one sack in that whole game? I mean, if anything surprised me, it was Asante Samuel getting two interceptions, but I really thought that the defensive line was going to have a great day against that pathetic offensive line of the Dolphins. Where's All-Pro Richard Seymour? I'd like to see him sometime this season. What's your thoughts?
I thought they'd have at least five sacks against Miami. I thought they'd be all over him, but not only Seymour.
But
where's
you
Coleman?
Think, that, though, that once Harrington got out there, they changed their upfront game plan a little bit?
It's still man-on-man, Fred. That offensive line is terrible. Like, where's Colvin? Where's Vrabel?
Yeah, Colvin slowed
down.
Yeah,
where
he
are
started
these guys?
Out on fire. And now he's kind of tapered off.
That's a bad offensive line. I mean, the reason I'm saying this is because it didn't really matter against Miami, but when Peyton Manning comes to town, you got to get pressure on him because I don't care who they have at cornerback. They can't hold up against those receivers all game long, and you got to put some pressure on them.
Yeah.
And if they're having trouble pressuring teams like the Bills, the Jets, and Miami, what's going to happen when Peyton Manning comes to town? So I think this week, this off the bye week, I'm going to be very interested in see how they play the Bills because they should have a couple of sacks in that game.
Russ from Canton, Mass, he put the little exclamation point on his email. You know, this was sent with high importance.
Oh, okay.
You know that one?
Yeah.
I was just reading an article by Ryan O'Halloran in the Washington Times. He was speculating about David Patton possibly being traded. He was a healthy scratch last week for the Redskins with the trade deadline coming up on the 17th. Do you think there would be interest from the Pats? He certainly is familiar with Brady.
Yeah, that's true. I just, I'm not a huge David
Patton
fan.
Well, the thing about David Patton is, he's one of those guys that after he left, his legend became a little bit bigger than
that.
He wasn't that great. I mean, he had some good catches. We all remember the catch he made in Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game.
Indianapolis.
And then the game, the Indianapolis game, and then also the catch
Super
he made
Bowl.
Against the Rams in the Super Bowl. That was a long time ago. Mm. That was 5-6 years ago. And, you know, he wasn't a number. He didn't put up a lot of numbers
and
with the Patriots.
But one thing I should mention, though, when you said that, we all know one team that doesn't care about draft picks. So when you're talking Randy Moss, you have to include the Redskins for sure, because they might be going Patton and a first-round draft pick for maybe a Patton, first and a fourth or something like that for Randy Moss, because you know the Redskins, they don't even like to work on draft day. They just try to get rid of all the picks right now so they don't even have to show up.
Well, one of the good things about, there's a lot of younger GMs coming into the league, younger head coaches. You know, there was a time when the trade deadline in the NFL meant nothing.
Right.
Guys, they just didn't trade, whether it was draft picks. You know, the old saying was draft picks are for drafting, you know, not for trading. But things have changed a lot. Belichick is probably one of the guys that helped change that, in that he's not afraid to make
Jimmy
those
Johnson
moves.
Was a huge...
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson's another guy. So, you know, it's good to see in it.
And the interesting thing is they made a couple of deals when he was at Cleveland and Johnson was at Dallas. They made deals together. So those were two guys that did help the system.
So, you know, that October 17th date isn't as inconsequential as you might think. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. It's
especially with teams, some teams that are 0-4, 0-5. Hey, you know, if you can get a first-round pick next year for a top-flight player who is disgruntled or whatever, maybe you do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that the Patriots still have their two first-round picks at the end of the year, because I think this offseason they're going to have a lot of flexibility to make a lot of moves. But, I mean, if you're going to get Randy Moss, that's one thing. Porter, if they're giving up first-round picks for Joey Porter, then
I wouldn't give up more than a third for him.
No, that's what I said. Yeah, third-rounders, as high as I go.
Yeah. Let's see. Gary from Syracuse. A couple of questions. Is it true Hank Poteet got picked up by the Jets? Yes, it is. Do you guys think they'll use him as a temp fit, or do you think they will keep him? Do you think the Jets are just picking him up to tick Billy B off? I don't think so.
No, he knows their system. You know, so they're running pretty much a similar system.
Yeah.
So they need help on defense anywhere they can get it. The Jets, they're terrible. In every defensive category, they're ranked at the bottom of the NFL.
They just gave up, what, 42 points last weekend?
41-0.
41. I know it's still early, but could you guys give me your top five teams? That's a big thing now.
Yeah,
top
everyone
five,
wants to.
You know, everyone's doing it.
In no particular order. I'll go with the Chargers, the Bears, the Eagles. I guess you got to throw the Colts in there, and then a tie for fifth between the Broncos and the Patriots. Those are my six teams. I would say.
Yeah, you put the Eagles in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put them in there. I say Bears number one. Eagles are impressive. I'd say that Donovan McNabb's playing better than any quarterback right now.
Well, he's played better than any quarterback in NFL history through five games.
Yes.
No one's ever had a span. And that's pretty remarkable.
So then I'll stick with that statement.
Chargers.
So I'd go with Eagles number two. Chargers are up there. Colts, and hey, they're 5-0.
Yep.
You know, and
I think you get to Denver and the Patriots are right there.
Maybe Denver gets the edge right now because I think their defense.
Yeah, if I was doing a top, I would make the Patriots probably six behind those five teams.
Yeah, yeah. Ravens, I don't think.
No, I wouldn't.
You know, they're fraudulent a little bit. I mean, I think their defense is good, but their offense. Jamal Lewis is not the Jamal Lewis he used.
No, that whole thing.
There was one play where, in the game Monday night. He broke out into the open, and all he had to do was one little move.
And he couldn't do it.
And he couldn't do it. And I don't know who it was on the Ravens sideline, but was screaming at him, you know, because he didn't do
it. He's definitely lost it. The guy to watch there is Musa Smith. He was a draft pick a couple years ago from Georgia. He was injured. I really liked him coming out of the draft. And they used him quite a bit. He's kind of like that Jamal Lewis mold where he's big and but when I was watching, I think Mike Anderson is towards the end. You know, they brought him in just as a veteran type guy, but Jamal Lewis just looks terrible.
Yeah, he's just not the same guy. Also says Gary, what do you guys do when the Patriots have an off week? Do you watch other games or just enjoy the week off with the Patriots at 4-1, or maybe catch up on your soccer team? Go Rebs.
Well, I told you what I was going to do. So,
we watch football.
Yeah,
we don't get a chance to sit home on our couch and just watch games, and that's what I'm going to do. I got the high def going. Oh, shoot, I just deleted.
Yeah, I mean, we're here like me and Fred get here at like 9 in the morning for a 1 o'clock game. we're here really early. We're up in the press box. When people like email in about pregame shows now, I don't even know what they're talking about because I don't see them. We see them on TV, but we can't hear what they're saying.
Let's see. Richard Donald, I think this is. Yeah. He's from Northern Ireland. He says the only time the Pats should ever sign Randy Moss is if they could graft Troy Brown's head onto his body. Assuming the training staff couldn't do that, they shouldn't go near the guy. I had a laugh at you recounted all the incidents that have happened in his past. Just like T.O., it is always something with the guy.
Yeah, that's right. It's you have to be prepared. It's always going to be something.
No, that's true. You know, so here I am kind of contradicting myself. You know, it is always something.
You know, I agree with you. I don't think he's crazy like T.O., but there's just I think he's always going to find something to complain about. You know, even if he's winning, I feel like he's going to say that he's not a big enough part of the offense. It's, I don't know. It just he's always going to be complaining about something. He's the one that wanted to go to Oakland. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
He couldn't wait to get to Oakland.
Right.
So now he wants out of there. It's just, when's he going to be happy?
I know.
The guy wasn't happy when Culpepper was throwing him the ball. He scored 15 touchdowns a year, and he wasn't happy.
Yep. Let's see. Mike writes in. He says, The Rock sucks. since you're into wrestling, the best ever is The Undertaker, period.
The music's good. They do that in Atlanta. Before they come out, they dim all the lights, and they play the donging of the dong, and that's really good stuff.
Sounds like Mike is the guy that might have posted that. He says, Tom, shut up with the freaking lie detector test already.
Well, go ahead. If you're calling me a liar, I said I'll take a lie detector test.
Wow. I think he might be involved. Well, Mike Moretti.
You know? Go ahead. I don't care. Listen, I don't care what you post on there, but don't say we're not telling you the truth. Don't say we're making stuff up, because we're not. And I said, I'll take it.
You got a problem with it? What's the problem here, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Show up to Gillette Stadium, go to A, ask for Tom Casale, and I'll come out and we'll talk about it. And you can look in my eyes and you can see if I'm lying or not.
Okay.
These guys do. They sit behind their computer and they analyze football like they know what they're talking about. It's a joke.
Stan says, I'm not certain I know what to make of the wide receiver issue. You, Tom, said we need someone to stretch the field, implying that it doesn't happen. I've seen Gabriel have a step or two on the defensive backs and the ball was underthrown. How is that a lack of stretching the field? I've seen Caldwell open deep in the middle, underthrown. Today in the paper, one of the quasi-experts was going on about 15-yard patterns getting cut off at 12 yards after recognizing how the DB reacts. I know Brady is good, but I'm not certain that a receiver and quarterback reacts that quickly and precisely with bodies flying around. I am appalled. Appalled, he says.
They do act that quickly, by the way.
I am appalled that people think Randy Moss or Jerry Porter can be an answer. I don't say the answer because I think the answer is on the team now. We just need to get the things clicking. Blaming wide receivers for a variety of problems doesn't seem quite right to me. Sometimes there is pressure. Sometimes there is a batted ball. Sometimes the receiver may not run the same route. Brady is throwing, and sometimes the other guys actually make a good play. Introducing someone who has demonstrated that he only plays when he thinks he should, and Jerry Porter, who seems to be doing the same thing, would be destructive. I can't believe Pioli would do that. He combines Belichick and Pioli together.
Well, those guys aren't open as much as you think they are, because we watch them come off the line. Both Caldwell and Gabriel struggle coming off the line. I mean, you're talking about that Cincinnati play. That was blown coverage. Gabriel was wide open.
Yeah, the guy never came over to help.
Well, against the Jets and against the Dolphins, he was stonewalled at the line more often than not. So I'm just saying, you need someone to stretch I'm talking Chad Jackson speed. Line up Chad Jackson with the rest of those guys and have them run down the field, and Chad Jackson will beat them by 15 yards. He's blazing fast. That kind of guy. That way you get these guys. What I'm talking about that is with the problem we're seeing with Denver and Miami. If you watch the game from above like we do, you can see the linebackers coming up into those holes before the play even starts, because they don't care if the Patriots throw it. They just don't care. And if you have guys that can stretch the field like that and can get behind the linebackers, they can cut inside 15, 20 yards. Boom, Brady hits them. That's a 30-yard gain.
Stan goes on to say, I'm not unhappy with the team. I think They are well positioned and will improve and peak later in the year. People seem dissatisfied with less than perfection. Well, even during the 21 straight games, there were games like the ones we have had this year. Bob Ryan noted a few days ago that people should enjoy the team for what it is and not what it isn't. It's a great organization, great coaches, great players. As a fan since 1963 and having experienced all the ups and downs, these are the best of times.
And they're never going to get this good again. So Bob Ryan was, he was right. And the people that are emailing us complaining about Tom Brady, let me tell you something. There's a whole heck of a lot of other teams you could be rooting for. I mean, can you imagine being a Cowboys fan? I bet you they got some complaints right now.
Oh, my goodness.
So, listen, Brady's doing all he can out there. They, do you know how many teams lose their entire receiving core in a year? Not many.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not many. So he's working with them. He's doing the best they can. The guys they got, I hate to tell you this, their NFL careers haven't been that great. See, the problem with some of the fans is they think Belichick can just pick things out of the air, and whatever he picks, it'll just magically turn into gold. And while he's had success doing that, Gabriel and Caldwell, they are what they are. They're adequate NFL receivers, and it's going to take time for them to get on the same page with Brady. I think Givens was an adequate NFL receiver. The only difference was he was here for a while,
right,
and Brady and him had that timing.
Right.
And it takes a little time for that to happen. Luckily, the Patriots managed to go 4-1 during these growing pains. So now as they get into the tougher part of their schedule, hopefully they'll get better throwing the football. The running game will continue to play well. The defense will continue to play well. And you got a playoff Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah, I mean,
that's tough to complain about.
I mean, I think that I have no doubt that the Patriots are going to get better, and, you know, they're 4-1 now. How much better can they get? But I mean, as far as what you see on the field during the game, the execution will be that much better as the season goes along. What we were talking about, and we're probably just dreaming, is if you had a guy like Moss out there, what he could do for the offense, how he opens it up for Watson over the middle and for Dillon and Maroney running, because, you know, that, you know, a guy like Moss takes two guys to pay attention to him on every play.
Comparing to what Caldwell and Gabriel can do downfield to Moss, that's no comparison whatsoever. Now, we're not saying that Randy Moss is a great fit. We're just throwing it out there as a discussion.
Having a little fun here. Ryan from Fredericton, New Brunswick. I wonder if you guys have any news on Canadian boy Nick Kasier. I know he was injured in one of the playoff games last year and hasn't played since. Well, actually, he did play a little in Cincinnati. He was inactive last week, so he did get out there a little in Cincinnati. Have you seen him in any practices? How does he look? Is he still recovering from injury, or have Britt and O'Callaghan simply passed? Based on any similar stories about offensive linemen with his injury, do you think it's likely he'll ever make it back into the rotation, or could he be destined to return to the construction work he did before attending the University of Toledo next year? No, I think he's going to be back. It's, you know, I don't think there's a need to rush him right now. He might have had a little setback, you know, but I think the Patriots feel that, you know, you can only have 45 guys active on game day. So, you know, you got to choose which eight guys are inactive for each game. And right now, Kasier, you know, they don't need that extra lineman active because Britt's playing okay.
Right.
So, you know, why make him active, take up a roster spot if you really don't need him, and he's not 100% yet? So I think, you know, they had him active in Cincinnati, but who was out? Wasn't
It was
Neil? No, who was out in Cincinnati?
O'Callaghan.
O'Callaghan was out in
O'Callaghan
Cincinnati.
O'Callaghan did make the trip.
So they made him active in Cincinnati. So, you know, that's why he played then. He'll be back. Don't worry. Let's see, Amir writes in, and he's from Boxborough, Massachusetts. Enjoy the show. As you requested, I told all my friends to watch, and they both agreed. So is that the PFW show, I guess? Because he said watch.
I guess so.
Oh, cool. Oh, great show last night. That's in the title. Great. Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
So you're the one who watches.
You're the one. I was glad to see more hair growing on Tom and Andy.
Oh, he's gonna be mad.
Why?
Because I'm shaving it down again this weekend.
Is this for the weekend thing?
Huh?
Is this for the weekend?
Well, no, it's just getting a little long here. You know, I got to shave it down a little bit.
Okay. To pick up a thread that Tom discussed last night, I think that the Miami game actually highlighted Brady's strength. Sure, he had a lackluster day passing, but passing is not the true value that he brings. I submit that the game management skill he has helped us win the game. Obviously, the Miami D was playing well and shutting down the run, and the passing game was not there. What Tom did was take advantage of each opportunity and not make mistakes. The game was won by managing opportunities and not wasting any chances. I also think that he audibles away from disaster rather for big plays. It would be interesting to do a study of all the plays he audibled and see what the original called play was. I bet he changes the plays to avoid throwing into defensive traps and avoid sacks, fumbles, and INTs. Okay. Now that the T.O. and Joe Torre death watches are over, I think that it is interesting people react so differently to Tom Casale than to T.O. Last week, Tom announced that he had a $150,000 gambling problem and considered suicide, and it did not even make the supermarket circular. Oh, well, I guess you're not a celebrity, Tom.
Not yet. I'm no Paul Perillo.
He says the show needs some better editing, especially on the highlights.
Oh, yeah.
I know what
screwed,
he was talking
yeah,
about. There was one part where Chris... He screwed up, and when I watched the show, they had taken out the screw-up, but that left like 3-4 seconds of silence over one of the B-rolls, so using all the terminology.
Yeah,
Paul knows all that lingo.
Paul knows the industry lingo.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for watching. That's pretty cool. I guess a lot of people watch that show.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, some, Gary even watched it.
Wow.
Usually at 11 o'clock, he's out at those bars, like the Rack and picking up women.
I don't go to the Rack.
You don't go to the Rack? Come on. No?
I'm over 30, Fred.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see. Owen is in Belfast, Ireland. That's pretty cool. Hey, I was just wondering what you think of Rodney Harrison's performance so far. Has he fully recovered yet? We were talking about that earlier, and Rodney said it himself. That was his best game so far this season.
Yeah.
He felt the most active. He was flying around. And now you have that extra week to even recover a little bit. I think you're going to see a good final 11 games out of Rodney Harrison.
I do, too. He looked really good against the Dolphins. I was waiting because the first few games were like, where's Harrison? He's not nowhere to be found. But I think, like I said, they were just bringing him back slowly, and you could see him flying around on Sunday, so that was a good sign.
Also, is Jabbar Gaffney any good?
He's what he is.
Yeah.
You know,
which
he's
is what?
A fourth or fifth receiver.
Okay. I used to live in Boston, but since I moved to Ireland, I haven't been able to see many games on Patriots games on TV. Keep up the great work. My life would be nothing without you guys. Wow.
Poor bastard.
That is that's a lot of pressure now to know that we're making someone's life here. You know? Let's see, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Next one comes from Patrick in New Hampshire. Just found out that there were 3 shows a week now. Great job from everybody as usual. You just found out? We've been doing it for 6 weeks now. You guys do an excellent job. Thank you. Talking about the commentators of the NFL and how some of them are horrible, have you guys ever considered doing a web broadcast of a game, maybe later in the season, like the Titans, Jags, or the Texans game? I know you guys would probably say we're not commentators, we're writers. That's not something we can do, but you guys would be much better than some of the schmucks that get paid big money to babble stupidly during the game. It would be better to hear Paul yell at Fred for Tom to insult the players as the game is happening and for Andy to make some perverted comments about the cheerleaders. It would be the typical great PFW humor that you guys always supply. If Patrick
Well, we actually, during the games, we have to work.
Yeah.
It's, unfortunately, we don't just get to sit up there and, we do eat, but we're actually working as the game's going on.
Yeah,
so.
It would be a little hard for us to do that. Plus, I don't think we're allowed to.
And I don't think we'd be any good at it.
Yeah, no. You'd get tired. It might be fun for the first 10 minutes, and then you'd be like, this is boring.
Shut up.
Yeah. If Patrick Pass comes off PUP, is there any possibility for Heath Evans to get released? Or are they going to keep him around as insurance? Great job. Well,
I don't think Heath Evans is going anywhere. I think Bill loves him.
Yeah. Except when he talks.
He just does way too many things. Bill was talking about him today at the press conference. He just does too many things. He plays fullback. He plays running back. He blocks. He catches. He plays special teams. That's just the type of guy Bill loves. I don't think he's going anywhere.
All right. Let's see. Next email comes from, uh-oh. Who's this now? Mike again? Uh-oh. I can't get his email up. What's wrong with his email? Mike says, I am not involved in whatever post you are speaking of. My email was simply, Tom said he would like to take a lie detector 750 times. Enough already. Okay. We'll take your word for it. But I think Tom was understandably upset.
Well, no, Mike has to go read what was written about us first before he comments on something he knows nothing about.
Right.
That's the thing. See, we were called out pretty viciously, I think, and called liars. And my point was that I have nothing to hide. I was just telling the truth. And quite frankly, did not tell the whole truth out of respect for Chad Jackson, not disrespect. If I felt like disrespecting him, I would have told you the whole story, but I'm not going to do it.
All right. Let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Indy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale with you until 2 o'clock. Taking your emails, webradio at patriots.com. That's webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And before the break, we were just talking. What were we talking about?
Oh, I forgot.
The stupid posts. Forget about that. I'll bet you those people are listening. They ought to say who they are. And apologize.
I'm sure some. I'm sure that I'll be getting slammed all over the place after this. That I don't care about. But don't say I'm trying to hurt a 21-year-old kid for no reason, because that's just wrong.
Salt from Orlando writes in, says, just because Belichick has the Patriots thinking one game at a time, it doesn't mean we have to. Barring a total meltdown or Brady being injured, I think the Pats could go 12-4 with losses coming from the Colts, Jags, and Bears. Do you believe this is realistic?
Oh yeah.
Well, I think the record 12-4 is realistic, but
I think they'll beat the Colts.
But see, this might sound crazy, but I'd rather have the Patriots lose like to Miami in Miami than to these guys.
Right.
If they lose to all three of these guys,
then they're not that great.
It won't matter if they're 12-4 because they're going to get bounced out in the playoffs.
I actually think they have a chance to lose at Minnesota. I think at Jacksonville is really tough because if Jacksonville's in contention at that point, playing in Jacksonville is a whole different story than them coming up here and playing here.
Yeah.
I think they'll beat the Colts. I think they got a good chance to beat the Bears because it's at home and it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think Brady could make the difference. So, I look at those road games, and I look at Minnesota, tough place to play, Jacksonville, tough place to play, Miami, tough place to play.
I'd rather have the Patriots 12-4 and have them lose to Minnesota, the Jets, and Miami than those three guys.
Well, not the Jets.
Well, but
I don't think Bill would take to that too kindly.
I don't either. But as far as beating good teams,
those are games you get caught. You know, but if like you said, if those three teams beat them and beat them pretty good, how much faith can you have going into the playoffs?
Right. Let's see, Steve in Fuqua Varina, North Carolina. Fuqua. Never heard of that place. He says, it's a scary deal when I find myself agreeing with Tom.
Oh, there you go. You're coming around.
I feel that the passing game is going to gradually get better as the season progresses. The new guys will get more familiar with Brady, and Jackson will get healthy and better as the year goes on. My only concern with the offense is that Brady's shoulder may be more banged up than he lets on. But I'd rather have a wounded Brady than almost any quarterback in the league.
Now, if I see something in the locker room, can I say it during media time?
During media time?
Yeah. So whatever it is, I can say it, as long as it was in public, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Brady, to me, had way more ice and stuff all over his shoulder and elbow yesterday. I said, is that normal? And Paul said, not really. Like, I know he ices, but he had like a thing on that, you know, that blue thing, and then he had ice all down his arm.
Let me tell you something.
But I'm just saying, maybe he's a little more hurt than we know.
If he was more hurt, they wouldn't put that on in front of people. I'm telling you, Belichick would not allow him to be seen in public like that if he was more horrid. If anything, put the ice on in front of people so they start talking about it. I'm telling you, they wouldn't allow – with all the controls that they put in place to avoid people knowing – why would they do that?
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. My concern lies with the defense and specifically Richard Seymour and Rosie Colvin. Where is the pressure on the quarterback? If it weren't for Jarvis Green, this line would be quite anemic in the passing downs. I think Ty Warren is having a great year and Will Fork is being consistent, but Seymour doesn't seem to be his usual destructive self. You watch film and see things that we can't see on TV. Is he being double-teamed or has his performance slipped?
Well, he's always being double-teamed. I mean, virtually all the time he's double-teamed. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I feel he hasn't played up to his standards. I think if you're talking by normal standards, he's having a good year. But if you're talking Richard Seymour standards, I think he's dropped a notch, and I'm waiting for him to pick it up. But that, he mentioned Colvin, too. That whole side should be getting more pressure on the quarterback. If you've got Seymour and Colvin lining up next to each other, there needs to be pressure from there because those two guys are good players, and there's just not, and that is concerning.
Well, he's on pace for 9 or 10 sacks, which for him is pretty good, Seymour. He's not a big sack guy.
But a lot of the Patriots sacks have come in garbage time.
Yeah, that's true.
Not the Jets. The Jets game, they had good pressure on the quarterback. But the Bengals, I mean, you mentioned Jarvis Green, and we made a joke in the press box. You did that we should start calling him the garbage man,
right?
Because he got
Jarvis Green.
Yeah,
and garbage Green.
Because he got another garbage sack against the Dolphins last week, and he got a couple against the Bengals. That is one thing I'm a little concerned with. I think they should be getting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, regardless of who it is, Seymour or whoever.
I'm looking towards next year's draft already. I suspect the Pats will go heavy on defense this coming year with linebackers, defensive ends, with rush capabilities, and a safety as priorities. Does Tom have a line on any draft prospects we should be watching for this college season?
I do. There's a linebacker from Mississippi who's phenomenal. His name is slipping me right now. But I do know that the guy that coaches him coached Tatupu at USC, and he said this guy is in a different world than Tatupu. He said he's that much better. And we've all seen what Lofi Tatupu can do. I slipped his name. He was just on the NFL Network 2 seconds ago. I just forgot his name. It's a common name. It's slipping my mind. He's a linebacker you want to watch.
But I don't think I don't think the Patriots target.
No, they don't. That's what I was going to say. The thing that's what makes it hard is that the Patriots don't. You said this is the same email we got, you know, all offseason. Well, we're going to be targeting linebackers, and they go after the best. I mean, think about this. With all the needs that we discussed, I mean, on the countless podcasts, the web updates, they took two tight ends back-to-back early on in the draft, then a kicker.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say what they're going to do. I mean, obviously, at some point, they need to start replenishing the linebacker position. I believe that'll happen this year, but it may be through free agency. So we'll have to wait and see.
Ryan is from London, England. He says, any idea how the Pats scout undrafted rookies and whether they more heavily scout certain positions? Tom, how did they miss out on Hank Baskett and Oliver Hoyt after your excellent evaluation?
I don't know, but they're both on 53-man rosters. Those are just guys that I liked that ended up, turning out. I mean, I don't know how good they are. They made teams.
I'm still waiting for Caron Henry to get picked up.
I just thought this would be a good place for Hoyt, and when he wasn't drafted, I thought for sure they'd sign him. And apparently they didn't agree with me, so they know more than I do.
Let's see. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. We got all these plasma screens in the studio.
Every time that Cowboy Eagle game was good. Every time I look up, someone's running towards the end. It's usually from a Drew Bledsoe interception, but
you know, because of our Patriots On Demand channel on Comcast, they outfitted this whole room because some of the radio shows are also filmed for our On Demand channel. So right now they get the NFL channel on and they're replaying the Cowboys game against the Eagles, and let me tell you, if you don't have NFL Network and you're an NFL fan, you got to get it. You got to do whatever. Picket your cable company. Do whatever you can. But you get it because now they're replaying these games where they cut out all the stuff in between. They show you every play.
Right.
It's
now,
great.
I DVR'd this game, but if I missed it, I could just watch it right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's the cable, like I've said before, the cable companies that aren't offering NFL Network should just be shot because you're going to have to do it in a year or so anyway. So just do it.
Right. Just do it. Pete from Jackson, Mississippi. Love your show. I'm a New England transplant here in Mississippi. Why is everyone worried about this team? What more can you ask? 4-1 at the bye with an entire new receiving core, rookie kicker, and a defensive backfield that's been dinged up a lot this season. That's not too bad to me. Please stop sweating Brady. He will find his groove, believe me. Chemistry is just not a boring class we take in high school. It is the essence of winning football programs and has been the hallmark of these Patriots. In the end, you can bet the Patriots will be there. How far they will go, we'll have to wait and see. But for God's sake, just enjoy the ride and support this team. We are not going to go into some monumental collapse like that other New England team. You see the results when the offense and defense are clicking. Just go ask Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson.
Well, and I should say that we have received emails, especially from this last Ask PFW, where I defended Brady. They want to know why we're Brady apologists. This is why. Do you remember a guy by the name of Derek Jeter slumping last year, Fred?
Sure.
And he was booed at home by Yankee fans, which I thought was the most unclassy thing I had ever seen. And the fans want to say, it's what have you done for me lately? Well, those fans that booed Jeter last year, are they going to cheer when they give him the MVP this year? Because everybody gets into a rut every now and again. I mean, does anyone honestly think Tom Brady can't play quarterback anymore? I think the best explanation, it was either by you or Paul, there's two kind of Patriot fans. There's the Patriot fans that have been with the team for a long time and understand what they have right now, and then there's the new fans that jumped on board when they started winning Super Bowls, and I think that's who emails us all the time, or the new fans, asking for Tom Brady's head, and are you kidding me? I'll tell you what, call up Dallas, they'll make a trade with you, you get your old buddy back, Drew Bledsoe, see how far he takes you.
I like what you said a couple days ago. You said, you know, if you're trying to figure out the problem and it comes down to whether it's Doug Gabriel or Tom Brady, I'm going with Doug Gabriel. You know, no disrespect intended to Doug Gabriel, but, I mean, Brady's kind of proven himself.
Right.
A little bit, you know?
I wish some of these hardcore fans could read some of the emails we get saying it's not the receiver's fault. You're telling me it's not Rashay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel's fault, it's Tom Brady's fault? Come on now.
Let's see. Gary writes in about Carpenter. He says, you guys were just talking about the draft, and it made me think of all the talk about the Pats taking Bobby Carpenter, and I was just wondering how he is doing.
Well, he's not doing well, but I don't know if it's him or if it's Parcells. He moved him inside, which is he's more of a Mike Vrabel guy where he can play inside, but he's a better outside rusher. And Parcells, you know him. He's one of those guys where, well, you know, he's not doing this. He's not getting on the field.
I mean, you look at some of the, when Parcells was the Patriots coach, they drafted Teddy Bruschi and they drafted Ted Johnson. And neither one of those guys immediately did that much. Johnson started right away. I don't think Bruschi did, but Ted Johnson did, but he was never a four down linebacker. And, you know, his contributions that first year he was drafted, I think it was 95. Was minimal. You know, you could see that he was doing okay.
Yeah.
But the Patriots didn't have even close to the depth, I think, at linebacker that the Cowboys have this year.
Yeah, the Cowboys have a lot of depth. Why they moved him inside, I'm not sure, but we'll have to wait a year or two to see what he does.
Brian in Colorado, what's up with Billick leaving Jamal Lewis in the game Monday night, despite the fact that Anderson and Musa Smith were much more effective with the ball? Is he upset that he can't play bowler? And what drove Jonathan Sullivan to the airport, or did he? Who drove Jonathan Sullivan to the airport, or did he go Greyhound?
You notice nobody's picked him up yet, so that ought to tell you how hot he is for teams. You know, teams always need defensive linemen, and I saw that the Chiefs just dropped one of their defensive tackles, so maybe they're looking into it.
As far as the Denver in Ravens game, You know, I don't know why he kept with Jamal Lewis. We talked about that earlier in the show. Jamal Lewis does not look like the guy that was running for 2,000 yards in the season. He's I don't know if he just got slower. Maybe he's just banged up, you know. And, you know, how old is he now? He's not that old, is he?
No, it's like his sixth year, I would say.
So he's like 28, 29?
I'm not gonna accuse anybody of anything, but Jamal Lewis has had injuries throughout his whole career, like those nagging kind of injuries. And if you've ever seen his body, you might put two and two together, just throwing it out there, because he had the same problem at Tennessee where he always had this, that, you know, that kept him off the field for a couple of weeks. You just got to wonder with guys sometimes if there's something else involved there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners watched that game on Monday night, but, you know, it was like 37 degrees, 35 degrees, and it was raining pretty hard. And all throughout the game, Joe Theismann is trying to say that it has nothing to do with – that does not affect the passing game.
Right.
It
was windy.
And it was windy, you know. And the number one thing that all coaches will tell you that affects – of all the weather, it's wind.
Yeah.
I mean, that affects games more than
that,
anything
that kind
else.
Of weather doesn't affect the passing game. That's why teams up here in the Northeast can't wait to run the run and shoot.
Right.
They always say, you know, when it comes November, December, we got to be able to run the football and blah, blah, blah.
So, Tom, Patriots are off today. This is their last day. They're going to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off for the bye, which, you know, well-earned break. What are we going to talk about other than doing the picks on Thursday and Friday?
I don't know.
What are we going to talk about on this
show?
We'll
need the fans to come in with some emails. We'll have to – well, tomorrow's Paul and Andy. Boy, man, they're tough to be with. Have you ever done a show with those two?
Oh, yeah.
I was here yesterday. No wonder the fans are always yelling and we don't talk football. Man, they go on – they'll go on 25 minutes about a sub they ate. it's like they're married. It's seriously. They're like two married little girls.
Oh, wow.
Awful. So tomorrow's show is definitely going to stink for the first hour.
I wonder if they're listening.
Well, Paul, he's probably on some TV show right
now. And
then,
we've got to do our picks in the second hour tomorrow, so that'll take up the second hour.
And Friday, me and you are screwed.
Well, I mean, we need our help. We need help from our listeners, you know, to give us some topics to talk about. Maybe give us some assignments right now to go research so that on Friday we can have some answers for you.
Yeah,
you know?
You know, you can talk about the NFL, too. You know, we can, whatever you want.
Sure.
You know, so some of the Patriots, you know, teams that you think you root against because you feel the Patriots are competing with them for home field advantage, stuff like that.
Speaking of the NFL, my favorite GM is in a little bit of hot water.
Yeah, Bill Polian.
Bill Polian of the Colts. Apparently, according to Jay Glazer, who I don't know where he learned it from, Polian was over playing the Jets. The Colts were playing the Jets a couple weeks ago, and he was on the sideline. First of all, what's he doing on the sideline during the game? But anyway, he's on the sideline complaining that the Jets had the speakers too close to the sideline. I guess, you know, like whether they were pumping in crowd noise, I don't know. So he talked to a Jets employee about this. Now, I don't know what happened in that conversation. I'm sure the employee told him to, you know, F off. But
right.
Whatever he said, Polian took him by the lapels and put him up against the wall and started yelling at him. So the guy complained, and Mike Tannenbaum from the Jets has filed a complaint with the league saying that, you know, no employee should have to worry about, you know, somebody
right.
laying hands on him during a game. So, you know, Polian's on a little bit of hot water. He's also in a little hot water about how they're handling the whole Corey Simon deal. Corey Simon's been put on the non-football injury list, which basically he's out for the season, I think. But, you know, some people think that the Colts are just trying to get out of paying him.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what's going on there. And now I hear that Polian has already started preparing the league for the complaints he's going to file if the Patriots field isn't in good shape when they play in, what's it, 3 weeks from now?
Yeah. No doubt about that.
You know, so.
Well, 4 weeks, yeah. We have the bye and the two games.
I mean, this is a guy who, he thinks he runs the league, this guy.
Yeah. You know what my dream is? Is that someday I get another job somewhere.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead.
But my last game's a Colts game, and before I leave here, I say, Fred, I'm all done, and I walk up, and I just punch Polian right in the face as hard as I can. I hate that guy.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Let's go!
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Okay, back here at PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch. Tom has gone to the locker room, and stepping in his place is the capable Mike Felger.
That upgrade. 800 number, I forgot it, I'm sorry.
Upgrade.
ESPN Radio, 890 here in Boston. The Boston Herald, 4 downs from Felger on Fox Sports News, or whatever it's called.
Fox Sports New England, Fred.
Fox, I can't even
FSN.
Say. FSN.
FSN New England.
FSNE, actually.
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
We've got a whole library.
Yeah, I know. Lots of material.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gudecki.
So,
go ahead.
How are you, Mike?
Have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
It's actually a good question. Yeah. It's actually a fair question.
Well, I know what you meant, but, you know, it didn't come
you
off.
Have, you, Bill's telling us he doesn't have a collapsed lung. Well, is it possible that at one point it was collapsed?
You
now
were
it's
horrible.
Yeah. So Mannix was on that conference call. That this didn't make the cut, but Mannix is it's on a conference call. It's about 100 people, right? 100 different media. Everyone's rolling on it. And there's just that pause. This is a ridiculous, moronic question.
Yeah.
So there's just silence, right? Like, and Mannix pipes in and goes, yeah, he stopped at the Texaco on the way in and got it pumped right back up.
I still have that. I got
to
dig that
there
up.
You go. See, that's the punchline to that.
I kind of miss Kevin Mannix.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You know? He was a guy that is around, so nothing fazed him.
Right.
You know, you couldn't rattle his cage at all. He's the guy that actually, Parcells got so frustrated at him, actually threw iced tea in his face.
It was actually hot coffee or whatever.
Was it hot coffee?
Or hot tea. It was a hot beverage.
Oh, was it?
It was a scalding beverage.
That makes it even a better story.
Yeah.
That's your hobby?
That's a, speaking of, I remember where that happened. And Parcells would park his Cadillac in front of there and he'd get out and walk over that green carpet in there.
Right.
One day, it's about 6 in the morning. I don't know why I was here that early. Pulls up in the Cadillac, has a stack of Heralds, like, you know, about a foot and a half tall.
Awesome.
And just shoves them into the garbage can. And then I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he never reads the paper.
Right.
You know?
They all do. Oh, are you kidding me? What do you think these guys do when they're on the treadmill?
Speaking
they got the clips in front of them.
Speaking of what the oddities of coaches and things that they do and say and, you know, very few of them do anything for no reason. Why did, you know, Belichick went out of his way yesterday to come out with a Cardinals shirt and give praise to Tony La Russa. Well, what do you think that's all about?
I have no idea.
Maybe he hates the Mets.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, what do you think? I love conspiracy theories, so I want to hear yours,
well,
please.
Okay, here it is. He was down with Parcells this spring, spent a lot of time with him. So I guess they've renewed that acquaintance.
Yeah, and the Cardinals train in Jupiter, which is where Parcells has his house.
Yeah. So then, you know, he made a point to talk about La Russa and Billy Donovan and Pat Riley. I think all these guys are going to get together, they're all looking at the end of the line soon, and they're going to get together and write, either come out with some TV show or video.
Like the League of Champion Superheroes or whatever?
Something like that, where they're going to you know, all get together and come out with the definitive book on coaching or DVD on coaching. I wouldn't put that past them.
I love the way you think, Fred.
You know?
I love the way you think.
There's got to be a reason.
Well, I mean, there's other reasons, but I mean, the money-making thing, sometimes something's happened in your life where you need to make twice as much as you used to, for whatever reason.
Whatever reason.
Sometimes some people take half of what you have,
yeah.
And then you used to have 20 in the bank, now you got 10.
And sometimes, you know, you look at a certain point in your life as a new starting point.
Sometimes that sort of stuff happens.
From this point on, everything I earn is, you know, mine.
As opposed to
half
of mine.
Right, yeah. So I wouldn't put, you know, Parcells came out with his backyard drills video.
Well, see, now Parcells is someone who has had a bad divorce, lost half his, and so, I mean, a lot of people think, why is he taking it in Dallas, you know, to the side of the face like he is on a daily basis with Jerry Jones? Why would he put himself through that after all he's been through?
Yeah.
He's paying him $5 million a year.
Now, I happen to think that Parcells and Bobby Knight should have their own talk radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, would you listen to that?
Sure.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. So what is your conspiracy theory about the field?
The field, here's...
Do you know what one I came up with this morning as I'm walking in here and I'm watching them film this for Cock the Movie out there?
Right.
Well, they knew the field was a disaster 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 2 months ago. But they said, you know what? We're not going to spend all this money and fix this field just so The Rock and these bunch of extras can come in here and tear it up. You know, we're not going to... It was to save some money.
No, that's exactly... I said that earlier. They looked at the schedule. They knew it was a mess. They had this thing going on. They've got at least two more Revs games. I think what will happen is once the Revs season ends by the end of this month, that's when you'll see them repair that field. Why do it before then?
Do you think there's any movement afoot to replace it with that field turf?
No.
For next year? God, I hope not.
No. And you know, I meant to find out about
now,
this.
Now, I mean,
I
you know because you are upper management, so have you actually heard this?
No, but I know when MLS first started, no field could be turf for soccer. You couldn't get any international games or the MLS if you had field turf. So that might be a reason why they have to keep it grass, because they do like the international soccer games. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike's going to have an exclusive interview.
There you go, babe.
All right.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autograph print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And it's Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN, the Mike Felger Show. Welcome back. We got a great guest for us, as we do every single Friday, even in the bye week, Matt Light, Patriots left tackle. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
We're doing pretty well. Hold on one second. You just want to make sure this is all done right.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Our buddy Gradecki just came in here flying in the studio because your mic wasn't on, but we got it. Matt, tell me, do you like the bye week?
Do I like the bye week?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely like the bye week. Now, I don't always like where it comes into play, but, yeah, I think the bye week's good.
When you say, so you're saying when you had that bye, what was it, week 3 a couple of years ago after the Arizona game, that's you don't really need it there. But you're saying a good bye at a good time is preferable to going, you know, 16 straight weeks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you obviously don't want it too early. You don't want it too late. You know, your ideal time would be right in the middle of the season. But, you know, this is a good time for us. We got 5 games underneath our belt. And, you know, we're sitting pretty good at 4-1. And take a little time off now and then come back and hit it hard.
So what do you do?
What do I do? It all depends. This year I'll probably go back home.
Which is
hang out for a little while.
Ohio.
Yeah, go back to Ohio, see the family, see the friends, and then take it easy, and then, you know, come back and get back to work.
Do you watch football?
Do I watch football? No, probably not. No, I mean, we'll get enough of that. We'll see all the films, and we'll see how it all unfolded. But, no, I'm not a big watcher of
You're
football.
Not a big – so you don't sit down in front of John Madden with the light beer and the thing of popcorn and watch football? You don't do that?
No, actually, I had never seen an NFL game until I played in one. So.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you. Like, actually, like, literally sat down and watched one. No.
Do you like football?
Oh, I love football. It's the greatest thing on earth, but I like doing it. I'm really not a big fan of watching it, you know?
What is it about that, then? Is it because you get itchy, or it's like when I go home at night and someone tries to talk sports to me?
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
Please.
Right, I'd rather not.
So is that sort of what it is?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I mean, when you're in it, you're in it, and you're so focused, and you're doing it all, and then, well, you know, when I get home, I got a lot of other things to deal with. You know, I got a wife and a couple kids, and... You know, that usually warrants a lot of my attention. So, yep. You know, I'm really not thinking about, you know, watching other games. And if anything, I'll be thinking about maybe throwing in some film that, you know, of our upcoming opponent or something like that, but not really seeing what everybody else is doing.
So you go home, they send you home with a DVD of, which can be Schobel, I mean, right?
Sure. Yeah, no, we can request about anything we want. I mean, these guys can handle about anything in the film department. So, you know, we can ask for breakdowns on, you know, third down, whatever it is, or just whole games and go back and take them home and watch them. So that's usually what I'll do.
It's Matt Light. I'm with Mike Felger, 890 ESPN. How do you feel after that last game? Jason Taylor always – there's always going to be a back and forth there with that guy.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, they came out and played the kind of game we thought they'd play. They were tough up front and you know, they flew around, they made a lot of plays, and they made it very difficult on us to run the football. And, you know, I think what we did was, though, we hung in there for 60 minutes, and we hit the plays when we needed them. You know, we had some big third down conversions, and, you know, we took advantage of some scoring opportunities, you know, that our defense, you know, either gave us or, you know, we just kind of came up with something out there on special teams, and you know, that all paid off.
What do Miami and Denver do similarly? Did they do anything similarly? Because if you look from an offensive line standpoint, those were the one, you know, those were the two games where you guys probably weren't as productive as we're used to seeing or as you would have liked. Was there something that Miami and Denver did the same?
No, I think they're completely different, you know, in regards to how they approach things. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is they both have great players, and they all play really well within their own system, and that's what they did well. You know, they came out and did what they've been doing to everybody else, and that's, you know, playing that 3-4 and then playing that 4-down, playing that floater look with Taylor kind of walking around up in the line of scrimmage and flip-flopping him from one side to another. And, you know, they were able to make some plays on us and do some things. But, you know, overall we were able to keep grinding out the yards in the running game. It wasn't always pretty, but, you know, the backs did a great job of hitting the holes that they had, and, you know, we were able to go out there and play the game we wanted to play.
How do you guys feel about it when you win a game that to fans looks, you know, for a fan, okay, you won, they feel good that you won, but a fan can still sit there for a week and bitch about things that they didn't like what they saw. It was sort of winning ugly, I mean, whatever you want to call it. As a player, do you ever look at it like that? Do you ever come away from a win and be like, damn, not, you know, not good enough, not happy? Or are you always happy no matter how you win?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but, you know, when you win, you still have to go back in and watch the film. So, and it's never perfect in a film. It doesn't matter how bad you beat a team or how much better you think you are than the opponent. You go back in, you watch the film, there's always a million things you can do better. So, you know, after a win, you know, like the one we had, it was great that, you know, we obviously played a big time game here at home and beat a great defense, beat a great team. I mean, you know, offensively they're able to make some play. They got some big time playmakers with their receivers and their running backs. So we beat a really good football team, and we're going into a bye with a win. That's what you have to be positive about. But, you know, what we have to work on? Well, we got to be able to pick up some things. We have to be able to make yards in the running game when it's tough. You know, they weren't out there, you know, changing up what they did just to suit us. I mean, they were out there, you know, playing their style of defense, and we got to be able to, you know, find ways to attack that and get the yards. So, you know, we took it for what it was.
Do you know what I've noticed in my half-assed TiVo dime store analysis that I do?
No, huh?
That you're a run-left team. When you need the big yards, you run left more than you run right.
We'll probably start running right now. since you recognize that, we're probably going to go. I'll make that suggestion.
Since I've uncorked the mystery.
Right. Now it's out there. Son of a gun.
And I would tell you, secondarily, that's opposite to what most teams do. Aren't most teams right-handed, where the strong side's with the tight end, and that's generally the power running side, and you generally run behind a right tackle? It would seem to me that you're just a little bit more left, run left-oriented, and is Does anything have to do with, does Corey Dillon run better to one side than the other? I know he has in the past. Does Lawrence Maroney run better to one side than the other, or is it that they like running behind you as opposed to?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, both of their legs seem to work pretty good, so I really couldn't say which side they like to run the ball on. But, you know, hey, I don't know. The way I look at it, when I think about the plays that we dialed up and the style of running that we have, I mean, I honestly don't see where we could favor either side. You know, I mean, it's basically what's out there and what's presented to us. And obviously, you know, a lot of things are taken into consideration there. I mean, what formation are we in? Where are we at in the field? You know, what's the situation call for? What's our defensive front look like? And who are we attacking? So, you know, I guess if you look at the big picture, it'd be hard to pinpoint exactly where we're going to go.
Matt Light, left tackle, but I've managed to do it.
Right, you did it. So, like I said, we're going to go right now. I mean, it's.
Tell me something. You got 5 sacks allowed this year, I believe. Pretty damn good. I think that's, you're either number 1 or 2 in the league sacks per pass attempt. You got to take pride in that. Are you aware of that exact number? I mean, you got to feel good about that.
No, yeah, it's definitely great to not have your quarterback get beat up too much. But, you know, when you look at a statistic like that, it's not just on the offensive lineman. I mean, you look at the offensive lineman, of course, but you also have to think about the tight ends. They're doing a great job. You got to think about receivers going out there getting open. You know, that's a big part of it. I mean, that might be bigger than the guys up front actually blocking in some situations. And then you got to look at the quarterback who's always able to somehow get rid of the football in a nick of time. So, you know, that's a team goal there, you know, that we have offensively. And it obviously starts with us up front. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, there's a lot of people that make that all happen.
Matt, is Josh McDaniels, or let me ask it this way, what does Josh McDaniels do well?
Oh, I don't know. I've never actually rated Josh. But I could do that if you'd like me to.
Well,
that's
what we're doing.
Sit down and come up with a long list.
Agreed.
I think he speaks pretty well. You know, is it intonation? Is that the right word?
He enunciates. Yeah,
enunciation.
Yeah.
Right.
Intonation. Sure.
So I think all those things are pretty good, and I think that he'll look you right in the eye when he's speaking to you. Other than that, I honestly couldn't tell you what he does well.
So you is he the same guy as Charlie Weiss? They gotta be.
Oh no, I mean, of course they're different. Yeah, but you know, it's you know, everything we do is pretty matter of fact. You know, I mean, there's a ton of time and effort and work that goes into this. And you know, I'm glad I'm not a coach right now, because they put in some unbelievable hours, and they'll be doing it this week too. People understand that. You know, we'll have a little time off here. Unfortunately, those guys will be in here working on the game plan and doing everything that they got to do to get us ready.
Does he have a challenge in that he's 30 or 29, whatever it is? And you know, you're younger than him, but some guys are. I mean, he's younger than a lot of guys.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think the age really has anything to do with it. I mean, he has a job to do like everybody else does, and he goes out there and works hard. So, you know, hey, I'm not sure that you can take anything away from a guy for reasons of age or anything like that.
Okay, Matt, I have to do this because I was tuning into the FM dial, and you do a segment on a station there, and I heard it this week. I heard you singing. I heard you sing this song with, I thought, like 4 guys behind you, but it turns out it was just another fella, and it was an actual legitimate song, talented song, and I just didn't know this about you. It was called Mustache Men.
Mustache Men, yeah.
And that's off your album?
Afraid to Fart.
And your band is?
Well, we are Yak McNasty and the Gratin Potato Band, but I tell you, it goes way back, actually, a couple years ago that we actually formulated the Mustache Men song, and that all kind of took place during camp 1 year. Just to kind of keep ourselves amused, and the offensive line. You know, we're going with a bearded approach this year for warmth and everything. Oh, it's probably going to be a pretty tough winter if you look at the Farmer's
Almanac. Does Copeland have a beard?
Oh yeah, Copeland's got a beard. Steve Neal, does he have a beard? Yeah, he has a beard.
Yeah, he does. But Copeland?
Yeah, does Logan? Yeah, Logan's got a beard. Yeah, we've all got beards.
Okay,
right. And it's legit. But you know, besides all that, and that's just kind of a little thing that we do to amuse ourselves. But we did the mustache thing, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I encourage you to go home if you have any facial hair, shave everything off but the mustache, take a look at yourself in the mirror, and ask yourself this question. Does this define me? Does this define this look, what you're looking at in the mirror, does this define me? And I think you're going to have an answer of yes. Yes, the mustache will complete you. You know, the Surgeon General warns against not having a mustache, actually. You look at the smog that's in cities these days. It acts as a filtration unit. And the list goes on and on. Marriages last longer when at least one party has a mustache. If both parties have mustaches, it goes on for a lifetime.
Matt, so you feel the mustache has been devalued, has been phased out, when, in fact, it has a place in society.
We've lost touch with the stache, I think probably in the 70s. Now you think about it, there've been a lot of great leaders in this country have had mustaches. Chester? Is that right?
I don't know who Chester is.
Ulysses S. Grant? I'm talking about presidents.
Okay,
here.
All right. Well, that's a long time ago.
Isn't it Chester Arthur?
Maybe.
Yeah. Isn't that what his name is? President? Am I missing something? There's a lot of great leaders. CEOs have mustaches. You'll see that.
Now?
When that happens. Well,
nowadays, no.
Then,
it's
but
over.
They should.
Who was the last great stash? It had like Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds. But Ron Burgundy, if you're going to go with right now. I mean, obviously it was a remake. It's a character, but he did bring it back.
It's actually, I'm not even mad.
I mean, a lot
mad.
Of kids are trying to. They got pasty mustaches out there, passing them out in schools, and it's a movement.
So can I hear some of the song? Can I hear the recreation of some of the song? Because it was, Matt, I got to tell you, it was actually kind of good.
Yeah, thank you. We actually worked really hard on that, and of course, well, I mean, we can do a little bit of that.
Let's do a little bit of it. Now, you had a guitar when I heard it.
We did.
Do you play guitar, or is that your partner?
No, that's my partner. That was Yak.
Is Yak a football player?
No, Yak's a great friend. He's actually, you know, has his band and does his thing. But we worked together hard on that, and you know, we put it out there for the world to hear, and obviously it had a little bit of a response.
Okay, the album is Who's Farted, or I'm sorry,
Afraid to Fart,
because
you know
to
it's
fart.
Like it's that first date kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, first about 2 years of marriage, then
right? You got to be careful.
Open season.
Timing is everything.
Is that available in stores online?
No, we're just.
Do they allow that in Walmart?
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
So let me hear some of the song, please.
Well, listen up, friend. I got a story to tell about a group of men who knew how to live well. They formed a team and they made a pact. They're big old boys that wear a mustache. Mustache! Sorry, I didn't warm up, but
that's
just a little bit of it. That's the intro. That's the beginning, and then it builds and it obviously ends with a, you know, a lot of passion.
It's outstanding, Matt. When did you know you could sing?
You know.
Sing a little bit.
Well, my mother is a musician.
She is.
And my parents are both musicians. And my mother, I meant to say, my mother is a music teacher. And I know she used to be at the high school. She did elementary school, about 28 years of teaching now. So I kind of grew up with that. Father used to play the big bands, like Woody Herman, Cy Zentner.
Really?
Bass player, yeah. Oh,
how
yeah.
cool is that?
Yeah, good stuff.
So is that something you want to do when you're done playing
Probably
ball?
Probably not. No, never.
At all?
Ever again.
Why not?
No, it's bad.
I'll tell you what, the way country music goes nowadays, you just got to be Toby Keith. Just a big old
big
boy
time.
With a deep voice. What else does he do? I couldn't tell if he's really talented. Great voice.
Good
got
voice.
Got a great look.
Great look.
Does he write his own material? I doubt it.
He could.
Gets up there and belts it out.
But that's a tough profession. I mean, that's the real deal there.
Well, how so?
I look up to those guys. I mean, I just tell you, a lot of hard work, a lot of performing, a lot of nights on the road, you know. A girl screaming at you and waving. That's awful.
Throwing their panties.
You don't ever want to be a part of something like that unless you're in for it for the long haul.
Okay, Matt. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Have a great time going back to Ohio, and we'll catch you next week before the Bills game.
All righty.
Okay, thank you, Matt. That is Matt Light here on Patriots Friday and 890 ESPN. We are your football station. It's the Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN. Progress, a little Deliverance. That's a great tune, although that movie is a very disturbing movie. So that was Matt Light, Mike Felger. Just a little extra live bonus for you. Get to hear the interview before the rest of the world will hear it on Friday on Mike's show, Patriots Friday, which is 4 to 7 on 890 ESPN Boston. And that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Right here is John.
You just got here.
Yeah, he just got here.
Oh, okay.
We're doing what
already
they,
done. Okay.
We're doing what they call the crossover.
Yes, that's exactly
yes.
correct.
So
that's
what's up? What's up, John? Anything good?
No, not really.
No?
It's boring this week.
Yeah.
That's going to keep everybody tuned for the next 2 hours, right?
Right.
Now, you know, the funny thing is that you find yourself trying to come up with I mean, I've been spending the last couple of days trying to come up with topics to talk about over the next 2 weeks because, quite frankly, I think most everybody pretty much has this team deciphered right now.
Right. They're all waiting for the Colts.
Well, yeah, sure. And you're looking ahead and you've got two road games still to play even before you get to the Colts game. And so, you know, I think we're going to spend a little time today just trying to look at that and also general issues surrounding the entire NFL. I mean, for instance, Fred, I know there's a lot of debate right now over who is actually the best team in the league. And I've heard passionate debates over Chicago and maybe still even Seattle, especially once they get, Alexander back, in terms of the AFC, how Indianapolis may not be all that, how everybody really likes, you know, Denver will put up a very impressive performance against Baltimore on Monday, and then I heard somebody mention earlier today on a network radio program about how San Diego may be playing better football than anybody else. So, you know what? Who better than to ask but than our listeners, because they're dedicated, knowledgeable football fans. I want to do basically some research today and find out who everybody thinks is the best team in the league right now.
No, it's a good one. We, Tom and I listed our top five before you got here, and I think, you know, the Bears have to be in it. I think the Eagles, after that performance, have to be in it. But after that,
the Cowboys did. Cowboys did a lot to hand the Eagles.
Yeah, well, yeah. But Donovan McNabb has done things, I guess, that no other quarterback's done
so far through
this period in the season.
So far,
you got to give them a head nod. Colts are 5-0, so it's hard to take them out. San Diego, even with a loss, man, I really like what they're doing over San Diego.
I'm imminently impressed with Phillip Rivers.
Did you see the game against Pittsburgh?
Yes, I did. I watched
it. I mean, they blitzed him almost every play from every angle.
Very, very well.
I was really, and I'm very impressed with their defense.
He seems to be doing the kind of things that you expect, that you hope a rookie quarterback would be doing. Now, granted, he's not necessarily a rookie, but he's a first-year starter, and he's managing things. He doesn't have to carry the team on his shoulder or in his arm or on his legs, as some teams depend on their quarterbacks to do. He has, you know, guys to throw to. He has guys to hand off to. He has a pretty good offensive line in front of him. He's managing the offense in San Diego, and I think that's what makes it so effective, makes him so effective.
All right, so I would put them up in the top five, too. I'd probably end up with the Patriots around six.
Yep.
So
I would probably tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
Around six right now. There's still some work to be done.
All right. So we got emails we left here. We didn't get to, John. So you can check those out. And talking about best teams and maybe even talk a little movie talk. I don't know.
Well, you know, we did that a little bit yesterday. I'll bring that back again today for those that did not tune in yesterday. But because of the movie from Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a.
Right.
The Rock, who's being taped. By the way, they've got a line of football players out there looking like, if you want to throw on the pads, they probably let you in the door, Fred.
Wow. I saw about 20 refs in full gear this morning.
20 referees.
Yeah.
A bunch of fans, too, wearing this. What's the nickname of the Boston team? Do we know?
The Boston Chiefs?
I think it's the Rebels.
Oh, the Rebels.
Boston Rebels. Oh, that really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whoever said movies had to make sense.
Right.
Anyway, there were a bunch of Boston Rebels fans
that
were there, too, all decked out in the maroon primary colors of this alleged football team. And so they're all there, you know, they're in the extras tent, they're getting fed, and you can hear the loudspeaker going on with all the instruction, and we're going to shoot again on Friday, and if you can be here by such and such time. And it's actually kind of interesting.
It is cool. All right, well, I'll leave you in the capable hands of John Rook, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. PFW in progress. Don't forget, it's Picks Day. Don't forget.